In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just 2 weeks ago, children, the church was full, and we had the Traore for Good Friday. The high point of the Traore is certainly the dramatic and very beautiful unveiling of the cross. Do you remember how that worked out? Oh, the bishop with the sacred ministers began by unveiling the top part of our Lord's cross, the part that has the INRI, or the Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And each time I would sing, "Behold the wood of the cross," and then the deacon and subdeacon would help me, "On which is hung the salvation of the world." And then the choir would sing, "Come, let us adore." And everybody would kneel down and worship our Lord's holy cross. And then the right arm of our Lord in the right part of the cross. And then finally the whole cross was unveiled. And then the clergy and the servers took off their shoes and had what's called the creeping to the cross. We went three times to make three genuflections and then finally to kiss our Lord on the cross. And how you and the faithful, then you would come up and you would kiss the cross at the communion rail. Now that Easter has come, the church loves to make a visit to the cross, to thank our Lord for all that he suffered for dying on the cross for us, and to surround the Holy Cross with glory. So today on Friday is the day for devotion to our Lord's cross, you'll be singing in a moment the votive mass of the Holy Cross. And then we want to, by our prayers today and every day, to apply the power of the Holy Cross to those who are in need. And how can that be done? Well, I want to tell you a story about that today. Oh, it's about 150 or 200 years ago now, I'm sure. There were two men who were both, as boys, raised Catholic, and they both received their sacraments, their first confession and communion, and they both had studied the catechism. One was from a very wealthy family, and he grew up to be a military officer, and he had servants in his household. And the other was a very poor man from a poor background, and he ended up being one of the wealthy man's servants. Now, the rich man, he had grown up to mock and to make fun of our holy Catholic faith. And he didn't want anything to do with the priest or church or the crucifix or the Blessed Mother or anything along those lines. And he used to make fun of everything that we hold to be sacred. The servant, for his part, was a good man. And he did his duty faithfully day in and day out. He just had a little room for himself in the attic of the wealthy man's home way up high. And in that very simple room, he had a crucifix that he kept over his bed. And every morning and every night, kneeling down, as I'm sure you do as well, children, he would say his daily prayers before the crucifix. One day, it happened that the wealthy man, the military officer who was his employer, was making a sort of a tour of the house. I think it was a question of making some repairs to the roof. And he went up into the servant's room, and he saw a crucifix there over his bed. And he grew enraged, very angry, and he said, "What's that doing here? I don't want that symbol of superstition under my roof. Now you take that away right away." So the poor servant could do nothing except to obey his employer, or else he would have been thrown out. But he didn't mind, because then when the man left, he kissed the crucifix and he put it under his pillow. No one would see it, but he would get it out each night and each morning to say his prayers on his knees before the cross, as he always did. Well, not too long after that incident occurred, in which this man had blasphemed the Catholic faith and the Holy Cross, the crucifix, the man got ill. He went to see the doctor. There was quite a to-do, and the doctor told him finally there was nothing more that he could do, that he was very seriously ill, that he was, as a matter of fact, that he was dying. And the whole household heard about that, and even though he wasn't really a very good man, or maybe because of it, the Catholics who worked for him started to pray for him and for his conversion. When they heard that he had only a few hours to live before he would die, that same servant who had been told to take his cross down went to see the master, his employer. And he said to him, "Excuse me, sir, but there's someone who's waiting outside. And he says that he's your best friend, and he really wants to come in, and he wants to be reconciled to you again. May I allow him to come in? Well, the sick man was very surprised, and he wondered who it could be who came out of nowhere to come to see him. And he told his servant, well, show him in. I don't know who he is, but show him in. And the servant came in, and what do you think he had in his hand? He had the crucifix that the master had forced him to take off his wall. And he went right up to the man in his deathbed, and he said, sir, look, this is your very best friend. Your whole life long, he has shown you nothing but kindness, and he's bestowed so many blessings on you and on your life and your family. And all you've ever done is to hate him and persecute him and refuse to love him. But now you're dying, and he wants to be your friend. He wants to be reconciled to you again. Don't turn away from him this one last time. And that was a miracle of grace, because then the dying man, he reached out and he took the crucifix and he kissed it. And with that, he received grace into his soul, actual grace, and then he asked the servant to be so good as to go get the priest and bring the priest. And so the priest came, and this man made a humble confession of all of the sins of his life, and it wasn't too much long after that when he had received his last anointing that he breathed forth his soul. But he was no longer an enemy, but a friend of Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful story, children, of how the power of the crucifix is to convert even dying sinners. And remember that in the conversion stories of the little flower, it's always about a crucifix. And you see how she holds a crucifix in her hands. She has the roses, and then she holds the crucifix. Usually, the conversions at the Little Flower Works are done in connection with a crucifix. So, let me ask you children this. Do you love our Lord on the cross? Do you all have a crucifix in your home? That's good. But now let me ask you, do you have a crucifix in your room? Every Catholic child should have a crucifix in his bedroom on the wall, or maybe on your pillow or on your nightstand, where you can see it and kneel down and say your morning and evening prayers. And then you could at least send our Lord spiritually to those who are dying, to those who have fallen away and very far from Christ. By this means, you could help St. Teresa and help our Lord himself work the conversion of many saints by the power of his holy cross. Just 2 weeks ago, everybody was thinking of Jesus on the cross and coming to church. Now it's only 2 weeks later, and nobody's here except those that have to be here. But never mind. Let's love our Lord on the cross, because the crucifix, beautiful and powerful as it is even surpassed by the Mass. Because now, when Father comes out and the Mass begins, the crucifix comes alive. And so you can send Jesus on the cross to all of those souls who are in need. They don't come to him, but you can send him to them. And that's exactly what the little flower would like you to do, I'm quite sure. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.